is a powerful motivator. It's one of the most primal things that we can experience. When you're really afraid of something, it sends adrenaline coursing through your body. Your whole being is preparing to do one of two things, to fight or flee, preparing to act. And fear, of one degree or another, is one of the greatest motivations, one of the greatest reasons that we do anything. It guides a great many of our actions. And this evening, what I'd like to do is take a look at what scares us. The kinds of things, not a spider or a creepy thing or something that's going to threaten our life necessarily, not those things specifically, but the lower level fears, the things that even without our noticing it, guides and forms our choices, our actions, all the things that we do. The text for this evening is taken from Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, where Christ says, "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." There's so many different things in this life that we fear. Things that motivate us, things that push us, things that cause us to run away from them or try to attack them, or all of these different things that we have to overcome and deal with. And there's more than one kind of fear. We can fear troubles, things that may happen, hardships, sickness, death. Those are all fears that we can overcome or endure. There is one fear, however, that we cannot overcome. There's one threat, one thing that can scare us that we can't overcome, and that is God. There's only one way that we can deal with a fear, a proper fear of God. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We can't overcome God, can we? We can only obey him. And there is nothing that can happen to us in this life that really matters except what God does with us. So this evening, what I'd like to do is look at what kinds of things scare us, why they scare us, and how we can overcome them, how we can make sure that our fears, that we're most afraid of the things that we should fear. Now we can use that to help us grow into something more. Of course, the obvious question of what we should fear is God. In Psalm 119, verse 120, the psalmist writes, "My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments." Psalm 56, verses 3 through 5, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil." We should fear God. God should make us tremble when we aren't following him, shouldn't he? That fear should be what drives us. Anytime that there is something that scares us, and it should cause us to turn to him for comfort. But what things really scare us? What things are we afraid of that we shouldn't be afraid of, that are really, when it comes down to it, trivial? Some in the world fear men. In Isaiah 51, verse 7, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people who in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings." That fear of man, fear of what men can do to us, that's the kind of thing that was ultimately Saul's downfall. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Saul had something he feared more than God. That's kind of a scary sentence right there, isn't it? He feared the people more than he feared God. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 3 through 5, we have another king who feared the wrong things. For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people, because they held him to be a prophet. In John chapter 9, verse 22, we have a place where someone should have done something and didn't. Christ had just healed a blind man. And when asked what had happened, it says, "His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue." They wouldn't tell the people accurately what happened to that blind man, how he had gotten his sight back, because they feared the people, feared to be put out of the synagogue. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, we see that fear can even come to an apostle. "But when Cephas," that's Peter, "came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party." Peter was afraid of what the Jews would think if he hung out with the Gentiles. And he may not have even realized, per se, that that's what happened. That's why he was doing what he was doing. But he separated for themselves, went over to talk with these other people when some Jews showed up. He couldn't stand to be seen talking with them for fear of what they might think. How often does that kind of fear drive us? A fear of men, what people will think. How often does that keep us silent? How often does that prevent us from acting? Or perhaps make us somewhat less obedient to God than we should have been? I know it happens to me. I doubt there's a single person here who could honestly say it wouldn't. It's never happened to them. That they've had second thoughts about doing what they probably should have. Speaking up and saying something when, say, Christ's name or God's church was talked bad about. Ignoring an opportunity when there was a moment where you could have taught someone a little something. Helped them understand something better because you were afraid of what they might think. It's so easy to do that. I think one of the greatest fears that we can have is that one that paralyzes us and keeps us from taking any action at all. The fear of failure. And that's what much of the parable of the talents is all about. Matthew 25:25, the one talent man explaining why he did nothing with the talents God gave him said, "So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." Inaction isn't good enough for God, is it? He wants us to do something with what he gives us. He expects us to act, to do. And a fear of failure isn't going to be that's not going to be much of an excuse when the time comes. Fearing authority is something that can governments or whatever the powers that be. That's another fear that drives us. In Romans chapter 13, verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval." If we follow the law, then we have no fear. At least as long as it's a decent government. There's always the evil men who can do things, but there are some, though, who stand up, and that's standing up in the face of authority, not being afraid of men. That's what marks a great leader, isn't it? That was one of the characteristics of Moses. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 25 through 27, says, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. There's an authority much greater than any authority that can scare us on this earth. And there are authorities who would make what we do here today a crime, make that wrong, give us cause to fear that authority. We can't let that drive us. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. We have the fear of injury again. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. In Deuteronomy 18, 22, we have yet another fear. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, this is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. How often do we have people coming on telling us when the end of the world's going to be, claiming to be a prophet, leading people off to be afraid of whatever the new threat is? All these people thought the world was going to come to an end last December, wasn't it? I think we missed that one. Not sure what happened there. Don't think there's anything to fear from that threat. But people are always telling us trying to scare us, trying to drive us to do something by telling us something that isn't true. In Acts chapter 18, verse 9, and the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent. We can't afford to be afraid to speak the whole counsel of God, to teach the entirety of God's word. But we need to be afraid of doing wrong. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority, bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. That's the crux of the problem as we face today. We have people afraid of the wrong things, and people who don't even realize what they're doing, going on television and using the Lord's name in vain over and over again. You'd think you could watch HGTV and not get an earful of that kind of thing, but if you've ever watched some of those shows where they do the big reveal, all the nice, wonderful changes they've made, you can usually tell who the religious people are because of how they exclaim their surprise. People don't even realize what they're doing anymore. They don't know to be afraid of God. They don't know the proper use of God's name. They don't fear him. So why, what are the root causes of our fears? What are the underlying things that we need to look at as we look into ourselves of what it is that motivates us? A fear and a respect of God's majesty, that's a good motivator. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's a starting point. Being afraid of God. Should that be the entirety of our relationship with God? Fearing God, fearing the consequences of disobedience, that's an immature relationship with God. That's always going to be there. That the power that God wields, there's no way to divorce that from who God is. And it's a terrible thing to be on the wrong side of that. But if we have the right things, we can overcome that. Often our fears stem from a lack of faith in God. In Mark chapter 4, verse 40, he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? How many times had the apostles seen the power of Jesus? Seen the impossible things that he had done, and yet still, time and time again, they were afraid. Afraid of the storm, afraid of so many different things, because they didn't quite understand who Christ was. They didn't have faith. You have to grow into that. A guilty conscience is another motivation. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Is that one of the reasons that we fear? Are we jumpy because we know there's something we need to take care of? Something that we're afraid might be revealed? In John chapter 9, verse 22, we have that passage with a blind man, where his parents said those things. They said they told a lie because they feared men. Is that one of the fears that motivates us? Is that what underlies some of our choices? The choice not to do what God wants us to do whenever the opportunity comes? In Isaiah chapter 35, verses 3 and 4, the prophet talks about weakness as a source of fear. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. When we're weak, if we let our weakness stay our hand, that's because we don't trust in God. If we put our faith in God, then that will not stay our hand. It will not stop us from acting, from choosing to do what we need to do. And most importantly, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, we have that simple motivation of living only for this life. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. If we have our eyes on the right things, if we're looking to Christ, then we aren't afraid of anything this world can throw at us. Nothing under this sun can scare us more than our respect and fear of God. Nothing will prevent us from doing what God wishes, from obeying him. So the question is, how do we conquer these fears? How do we overcome a lack of faith, this weakness, this failure to turn toward God? We have to build it up. We have to remind ourselves, this is written in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? How often do we remind ourselves of that? If we could tattoo that on the underside of our eyelids so we could see that every time we closed our eyes, that might help, wouldn't it? God is our helper. He will be there for us. What can man do to me? What in this life is worth disobeying God? What should scare us more than the Almighty? Because it's so easy to forget. And we can't overcome these fears alone. See, he who we should fear, he who has the power to cast us into heaven, that too, has the power to cast us into hell, he can help us. In Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding, for the gain for her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you can desire can compare to her, with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of the sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked. When it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. growing in wisdom. That helps a great deal. It helps us understand what's truly a danger, what's truly worth being afraid of, and what isn't. And with that wisdom comes an understanding that we should trust in God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13, says, "And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mercy, of the mystery, hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." We have to serve God so that we can grow closer to him, so we can grow stronger in him, and so that we can overcome our fears, so that we can be steadfast. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 10 and 11, "Then fear not, O Jacob, my servant, declares the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from far away and your offspring from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return and have quiet and ease, and none shall make him afraid, for I am with you to save you, declares the Lord. I will make a full end of all the nations whom I scattered, among whom I scattered you, but you will not make a full, but of you I will not make a full end. I will discipline you in just measure, and I will by no means leave you unpunished." God offers us salvation. And with that comes the confidence to do whatever it is that he asks us, to follow him, to know that we have something. We have his word. We have his strength behind us. In Romans chapter 13, verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval." Of all the authorities that we can fear, whose good is the only good worth mentioning? Governments can and will become corrupt. Laws can be abused. Laws aren't the answer, not man's laws. The authority that we should fear is God. But by obeying him, by doing his will, we have nothing to fear from him. If we follow God, if we follow his commandments, if we do right, then there is nothing in heaven or on earth that should scare us. There is nothing that should stay our hand when the opportunity comes to do God's will, to speak up, to share salvation with our friends and loved ones. I'll tell you what, sometimes I'm sometimes afraid of losing friends or scaring off family members. And it's so easy to let that stop you from talking, because you're afraid you might lose that friend. I'll tell you what, that proves that our attitude is wrong. Because if we're truly afraid of losing a friend, are we going to let them go to hell? No. And that's what our choice of being silent means. It means we're afraid of the wrong things. And I don't know about you, but it's always time for us to do a little bit more to overcome that, to set that aside, and to actually get out there and overcome our fear and save this world from a sure destruction. Because that's what awaits it. And I just tell you this, I don't want to go to heaven alone. Do you? We can't be afraid. We can't be afraid to do God's will. There are a great many things in this life that can harm us, things that can threaten us. Paul was on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, from robbers, in danger from his own people, in danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. He lists all that in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Did that stop Paul? I'm not asking you to go out there and spread the gospel across the known world like Paul did. Right now, I'm just asking you to talk to people about your faith. Don't be silent. Don't self-censor. Be a Christian and let that be part of everything you are. Because only fear will keep that out of every part of our life. And that fear can keep us out of heaven. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, tells us exactly what can keep us out of heaven. And it's nothing in this world. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world, our faith. That's what overcomes our fear. That's what conquers all of the problems and threats that lie in front of us. Because ultimately, whatever we do to obey God, however many people we can influence and bring with us, that wins. Whatever suffering and problems we face in this life don't matter. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 16, but according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. As he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. What are we waiting for? What are we living for? Are we living for this life? Are we afraid of the harm that can come to us here on earth? Or are we waiting for that new heaven and the new earth that's perfected because it is a place where God can actually be? It's a place without sin, a place where we can live with our Savior and with all of those friends that we sometimes are afraid to talk to. The lesson is yours. If there are any here who find that their fear has prevented them from being the kind of Christian they need to be, who's let fear stay their tongue when the time was there to confess Christ, much like Peter around that fire, if there's any here who have needed the prayers of the congregation for whatever reason, the invitation is yours to come. If there's any here who need to start that Christian walk, become part of Christ's body in baptism, that invitation is yours as well as we stand together and as we sing.